I was wondering if you could tell me about the mentoring program. I understand that you're helping start here.
So let me tell you about the mentoring program that we run at MIT and that we hope to transfer and have effective here. It's called the MIT Venture Mentoring Service. And what we do is it's a volunteer organization. And we serve what we say is members of the MIT community. So members of the MIT community can be students. Are you okay?
Yep.
Students, they can be undergrad, grad students, they can be members of the faculty. MIT has a large research staff, so they could be staff members, or they can be alumni, all who live within the Boston area. And the reason for staying within the Boston area is because the mentoring activity is kind of a face-to-face thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to really, you can be much more effective if you can look at someone and talk with them than if you're trying to do something by email or even telephone. So we found that that's the most effective way to do it. So what we say is if you're a member of that community and you have an idea, any idea, it doesn't have to have technology associated with it, but it has to be an idea that you think is a good one, and for whatever reason you want to commercialize it, you want to be a part of making it a practical, saleable product, then we tell people that we will provide services to help you realize that goal. Now, some people within the MIT community, they're business knowledgeable, they know how it works, they really don't need our help. But there are a lot of engineers and scientists who really don't know very much about business. They're very smart people, they have some very good ideas, but they wouldn't know how to go about starting a business. So those are the people that we can best serve. And what we do is we provide a consultative service. So we have a number of mentors. They're all volunteers. They're people who have had experience in the entrepreneurial world. So they've either started companies themselves or been associated with startups or perhaps have started new activities within a larger company. But people who've gone through the steps of taking an idea and then making it come to reality. So they have some experience and they really have something to offer to the process. So those are the mentors. And what we'll do is we'll team mentors with the would-be entrepreneurs and begin a process to kind of coach and help them to learn how to learn about the business world and then take their idea and match it to the business world and hopefully build a successful company.
How long has this program been around?
Program started in 2000. I became associated with it in 2003. And it's just grown since it started. And it's just kept growing and growing.
How many companies have been created out of this process?
Well, right now we're mentoring about 100 would-be ventures.
Wow.
So that's right now. And we have about 35 ventures that are what we call launched and executing. So those are companies that have used our services, have put their teams together, are either selling product or are ready to sell product. They have financing. They maybe have a board of directors or a board of advisors. So basically, they don't need our services. So that's about 35 companies. And then we have another four or five that have had, in the course of time, have had liquidity events. So in those cases, they've been purchased by larger companies, and so they don't exist anymore.
Uh-huh.
So there has been some success. All told, we have served about 470 ventures, or let's say 470 entrepreneurs who'd like to start ventures. It's a very risky, high-mortality undertaking, as is starting any company. And so people come and work with us for a while, and then many suddenly realize what's involved in a startup and just decide that they either don't or can't muster the resources or just don't have the time, and then they'll have had a good experience, but then they'll go about doing other things. So we try to minimize that, but it does happen.
Does UW-Madison have anything like that now? Or
near as I can tell, there's no program that that serves that need. And I'll tell you why I think it's important. So there's been a change in the way technology from universities gets commercialized. Go back 15 years ago, and the process was fairly straightforward. faculty or grad students would do research in a given topic. They would turn to the university to help with the commercialization. The university had licensing offices, I believe, here at Madison. It's Wharf. And those licensing offices would have contacts with companies, usually large companies across the country. They would offer these technologies. The companies would come and look. They would see what they like. They'd negotiate license agreements. And the companies would move those technologies into their research labs and then do the research, advanced development, and then product development work to bring them to market. Well, what's happened in the last 15 years is that the time horizon and the commitments of large companies to basic research has decreased. You know, they've had to become more efficient, more productive, and they felt that doing basic research was not a core part of what they could support. So there's less and less basic research that's done, and most of the corporate research is aimed at either advanced development or product development. So they're looking for technologies that are ready to be put into a product. But very often at a university, the technology development is finished long before it's ready for a product. So what's happened over the last 15 years is a gap has developed. And universities are looking for ways to bridge that gap. You know, the folks here are in Madison are looking for ways to bridge that gap. They recognize that they have a lot of patentable technology, and they can't find ways of moving it forward because the potential licensees simply say it's not well enough developed. So that's where the entrepreneurial ideas come from. So what's needed, we think, is that these technologies need to be pushed forward by entrepreneurs who are willing to take the risks necessary to do the research and development and maybe even first products so that these things can be brought to market. And then that requires the whole small company infrastructure for entrepreneurship. So people who are interested in starting companies, capital that will give them the money that they need to move forward, and help with the people or the people development, which is where the mentoring program comes in. And hopefully then these companies will move forward, and as I indicated in some of the examples we have in Massachusetts, technology will get to the point where now the large companies are interested, and then they get bought out, or they bring the property, ideas to market and become successful companies. So that's really the space that we work in, and I call that gap that's opened up, I call that the valley of death. And so we're trying to develop the boats that will carry ideas across that valley of death.
Have any other universities picked up your model?
Well, we had a workshop in January, was sponsored by the Kauffman Foundation, to talk to other universities about what we're doing and see if there's interest. We had another workshop a year and a half ago, and there is one other venture mentoring organization in the St. Louis area. So there's a venture mentoring of St. Louis that's picked up on this. And now from this last workshop, we're talking with about four or five institutions that want to move forward on it, and Wisconsin's in one of them. So we think that it's an idea that is now at the cusp of beginning a growth curve.
What does it take to set something like this up?
So it takes a couple of things. It takes, first and foremost, I think it takes some people with entrepreneurial experience who really want to see this happen. People like myself and some of my other colleagues, mentoring colleagues, who are at a point when they, in their lives, when they want to do something good, they want to give something back to society, and feel that their experience is what they'd like to give back. And if it's in starting companies, it's an ideal way to do it. So it takes one or two people who really want to spend some time working at the university to do this, I think, first and foremost. It'll take some money, so that will have to come from somewhere. It'll take the cooperation of the university. There has to be a desire to do this, an active desire to do this, and introductions inside some PR to suggest this is a good thing to do. And then some work with the licensing office to make sure that if necessary, the licenses can be negotiated so these startups can move forward. I mean, other things, obviously, also. There's going to be a need for some space. People always need some space to work in and things like that.
But you're a vice president at MIT?
I was. I served as an interim executive vice president for about a year and a half, and I was replaced by my permanent replacement about a year ago. So I'm now back full time working with the mentoring program. That's my focus, and it's a volunteer job.
Can you talk a little bit about your career?
Sure. I was an engineering student at MIT, electrical engineering, working on some very interesting research work, finishing my master's degree. The professor that I worked for was Dr. Amar Bose, and he approached me just before I graduated and said, you know, these ideas that we've been working on, they might be incorporated into products. And he suggested that since we'd work well together, why didn't I come and work for his company?
What year was that?
This is 1964. And I discovered he didn't have a company. But he said he wanted to start one. And we talked about the philosophy of what kind of a company it might be. And it sounded so interesting and exciting that I changed my career course. I was headed for a job in the aerospace industry and just said, okay, I want to go with this startup, even though I knew it was very risky and had no idea what the results would be. And even though my family told me this was not the right thing to do, I was at the time deeply in debt from my studies, and you know, they thought I ought to get a job with a real company and pay off my debts. But I made the turn, and it was a very difficult startup. We had some really good ideas, but we didn't really know much about business. We thought that what we would do is use our engineering training, and we would treat business problems as challenges that can be solved with the kinds of methods that we learned as engineers, and that we would just solve one by one the problems we encountered, and hopefully we could find success that way. It's easy to say, it's harder to do. So the company kind of limped along for about 4 years and barely stayed in business, but by a miracle stayed in business. And then in 1968, I would say almost in desperation, we brought to market an invention of Dr. Bose's, the 901 loudspeaker. And that was a turning point for the company. It was the right product, introduced in the right way at the right time, and it very rapidly became successful and just turned the course of the company. And so we began to grow and grow from that point on. And that was, you know, that was when the reputation of the company was established in the audio business. And then after that, follow-on products came that built on both the technology and the market that we had developed, and then the company kept growing over the years.
And eventually you ran it for, you're the head guy?
I was president for about 15 years. I'd actually been executive vice president before that, and then president. So I had had an executive position for a goodly amount of time. And in 2002, I kind of took stock of where things were and felt that the kind of contributions that I was making, which was my interest was in new ideas and in building things from the beginning, that those were things that other people were doing. When you're president of a big company, you're not really doing that. And so I felt it was time for me to move along and maybe do some other things and let people who were better at running an organization as opposed to building it take over. So I retired then. And that's when I was introduced to Venture Mentoring Service and became the director and began to do that on a volunteer basis.
UW-Madison is one of the biggest, I guess, public research universities in the country. Do you think it's ideally suited for a mentoring program like this?
Well, that's why I'm here. You know, I absolutely believe it's ripe, and the more time, and I've spent 2 days here, and the more I've learned about the area, the more convinced I am that this is a gap that is in the what I call the ecosystem of entrepreneurship in the Madison area, and that a program like this, I think, would be very valuable in encouraging, assisting, and maybe even creating more new companies. There's so many ideas here. I mean, Madison is such an inventive place. And there's so many things, I just hear the frustration that people have, that how are we going to move these things to being practical? I just think the time is right. Not only is it a good place, I think the time is right, too.
It's sometimes said about Madison that there's great ideas here, but there's a difficulty in attracting managers because it's they don't want to leave Silicon Valley or Boston or other places like that. could your mentoring program help with that?
Well, that's the basic motivation behind the program. So we believe that the chance of any one venture being successful is low. But if we can take people who'd like to become entrepreneurs, who have maybe a good technical base or have some good outside ideas, but they don't know much about business, we can teach them about business, if we can teach them about entrepreneurship and give them the experience of starting a company, then even if they fail, they will have had that experience. Now, maybe with that experience, they'll go back and they'll say, well, okay, now I have a better idea and I want to try again. Well, they will do better the second time around. And ultimately, what we believe is we're creating the CEOs of the future. We're creating the ones, we don't know what companies they're going to start or be associated with, but we think we're creating a pool of people who will be those managers in the future. And we're creating it right here in Madison, so there's a good chance people will stay. So we think that there's a lot of good things that spin off of this. The other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, you think of a company that grows and then they get a venture capitalist, a VC, to invest in the company and whatnot.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that most of the ideas, at least the ones that we deal with, most of them will never be big enough to attract a VC. You know, a VC needs a company that looks forward to a company that's 50 or 100 million in sales. A lot of ideas just don't grow that large. But that isn't to say that they're not good companies and they're not valuable companies. If you look in any given area, I'm sure this is true in Madison, you find most of the jobs aren't created by the real big companies. They're created by the multitude of small companies. And so I think having something like an entrepreneurship, a mentoring service that creates a lot of small companies will be very good for the economy in the area. I said we're mentoring about 100 would-be ventures. So when you think about what that means that maybe each venture has only 2 or 3 or 4 employees. Well, that means all told, at this instant, we're creating 300 jobs. And then if you look at the companies that have spun off and whatnot, there's even more. That adds up. You know, and so I think that there's an economic benefit that is almost a side issue that I think is very valuable as well. And these are people that are learning to be in their own way to work with startups and learning how business works and whatnot. So it's kind of a cascade.
One of the entities that's here is you're probably familiar with, is the Wisconsin Technology Council, and it has an angel investor network. That people who have deep pockets and are interested in starting companies, would the mentors be doing that kind of work too to show them where the money is? And
well, that's what we do. In Massachusetts, we have some of our mentors who are active in the investment community, active in the Angels Group, and they, on a volunteer basis, serve as a conduit to the appropriate potential investor. So we'll, among other things, you know, our ventures will help them prepare their financial needs and plans, and then we'll suggest avenues of investment that they can explore. We'll work with them on their presentations. We'll vet their presentations, make sure they're of quality, so they're not gonna bore the angels or the VCs. And then we'll tell them, why don't you call these people, these people, these people? And we think that's also a very valuable function. And on the angel side and on the VC side, they know that if they get a call from VMS, that they're not talking to someone who's a random venture. They're talking to someone that's had some coaching, has had some preparation, and it's going to be worth their time in order to take a look. It isn't to say they'll invest in everyone, but they'll certainly give us attention. And we think that the angel groups here would benefit from that as well.
I saw that the university chancellor was here for your talk. Who else have you been talking to in your time in Madison?
I can answer that, I guess. Well, number one, Sherwin was here for the UW Showcase, which is a quality improvement program put on each year for. Mainly it's an inside university sort of program directed at showing people on the campus the examples of some of the best improved practices around the campus. So he was the keynoter for that event, and that was a good part of the day yesterday. He also spoke Monday night when he first arrived. We kept him pretty much on a treadmill. He was at a joint meeting of two student groups, two student entrepreneurship-oriented groups. There was a breakfast meeting this morning that was out at the Research Park, sponsored by the Research Park, mm-hmm. our office, as well as the Magnet, Madison Magnet, and the Technology Business Development Institute. There we spoke more about this whole mentoring concept, kind of a roundtable discussion there with Lori Keating-Heineman and Sherwin. We came here on the way. We stopped with two different entrepreneurship classes in business school. So they were kind of picking Sherwin's brain on some of the insights he's gained. We are about to go over to a meeting with some prospective mentors because, as Sherwin has described, we are looking at putting in place a program here in Madison that would operate very much the same as the Venture Mentoring Service does. Capstone, tonight it just so happens that the Gilson Discovery Series will have Rock Mackey, founder of Tomotherapy, one of our star professors. He'll be talking about his experiences with faculty entrepreneurship. And Sherwin's not on that program, but we thought he might be interested to hear and meet another one of those guys. So with that, he'll probably be happy to leave town and know that he's no longer being foisted upon various people. But we've been delighted. It's been a great opportunity for us here to kind of expose, I think the Chancellor alluded to it in his remarks. If all we do is sit around here in Madison, we tend to lose sight of what else is going on in the rest of the world. And we don't have unique problems. Other places have very similar sorts of things. So basically, we can bring a person in here who's had some experience with a successful effort and draw on some of his expertise. And so, in effect, he's kind of mentoring us.
And because this is going to be audio, your name is?
Oh, I'm Alan Dines. I'm Assistant Director of the Office of Corporate Relations.
What do you think is, to sum this up, the most important thing that an entrepreneur can do who wants to take an idea and turn it into an enterprise?
I mean, that's a big question, right? But I believe the most important thing is never give up. This is a difficult, difficult thing to do. It's not always going to go your way. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be barriers that seem impossible to get over. But I've seen time and again that it's the people who just keep after it, who keep banging their head against it, and just say, I'm going to succeed. And they do. They do. So it takes, I think the most important thing is the stick-to-itiveness. Just don't take no for an answer. Just go, go, go.
Any other thoughts?
You got it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good.